The Rose City Forum with Timothy Moore.
The place Portland goes for stimulating conversation.
The Rose City Forum, uplifting, informative, and sometimes wacky. Here's Timo.
Well, welcome everybody to the Rose City Forum here on KKPZ. It's good to be with you this afternoon. We hope you're having a great lunch hour out there. And joining me in studio today is James Autry, a name well known to anybody who listens to this show, because this man, in fact, used to be the general manager of this very station, KKPZ. And this guy is everywhere, folks, because he is the director and founder of Serving Our Neighbors, and also, I don't know if I should say former director of the Christian Chamber, but I guess. And, of course, just provided tremendous leadership in that organization, and then is involved with the Emergency Preparedness Leadership Forum, which will be on November 1st and 2nd this year at the Oregon Convention Center. And why that matters, folks, is because they are being sponsored and are in partnership together with Serving Our Neighbors. And in particular, on the 2nd will be the Faith Leadership Conference that is all integrated in with all of this, folks. And we're going to be talking more specifically about that and how you, as a believer in Christ and also as a participant, we hope, in your church, and whether you're a pastor or a leader in the community, we want to encourage you that this is an event you want to become a part of. And so welcome, James. And now I think Eric Cummings as well just walked in. So I was waiting to introduce him to see if he comes in. But welcome, Eric. It's good to have you here too, my brother.
I am in the house.
You are in the house, man, live. All right. So say hello to the folks out there.
Yeah, it's great to be back on the station. I was here about a month ago, early Sunday morning, praying with Millie Yamasaki and her program there. And just love any time that we can be an outreach and let people know what's happening in the city, because there are amazing stuff that's taking place, and that's kind of what we do. Yes. We discover this thing, God brings us stuff, and say, wow, we've got to get this out. So that's our role.
I know. Wow is right. You know, and I say a lot of wow on this program, you guys, because God is moving so powerfully here in the Portland metro area. And it's very easy to overlook that sometimes because we get discouraged with how we see the enemy advancing or whatever. But I really want to encourage you as listeners, God is moving in this city, in this region of PDX, more powerfully than I think we really realize. So, you know, let's launch this off by, first we want to remind people that there is going on right now the Prayer Summit, Northwest Prayer Summit, that is going on during the day and evening sessions that started yesterday, I believe, and it will end on the 29th. And if you would like to get involved in that, I think they can still go there and register in person.
They can.
And this will be at, what's the church it's at, actually?
It's Central Bible Church.
Right next
to Multnomah University.
All right, terrific. Central Bible Church next to Multnomah University. And if you just can show up there, it is 8815 Northeast Gleason Street in Portland. And guys, you and folks out there, I got to tell you, prayer changes things. We know that. And I encourage you to get involved in this prayer summit. And in fact, James, if you've got anything to add about that.
Yeah, I will. Lou Engel spoke last night. He's with The Call, and he did the Azusa Now thing down in L.A. at the Memorial Coliseum back in April, and just challenged people to really connect the prayer movement with the missions movement.
Yes.
And so the call that night was to do a Jesus fast, to do 40 days of fasting and prayer for the breakthrough that we need. And he articulated a lot of the prophetic things that have been spoken about over the Northwest that affects our entire nation. And so we had about 700 people that were there. We still got room for another couple hundred. So you can register for that today. We had a prayer gathering with different leaders at 10 a.m. And then this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and then at 7 o'clock, we'll have Chuck Pierce. He interrupted his international travel to come to Portland for this event.
Fantastic.
And said that I need to be there. He comes here often every year down in Albany. But he'll be sharing, and then we have a couple other folks on Friday and Saturday. And Rick Joyner's another person that may be well-known with all that he does. And so anyway, just amazing time of God's bringing in the reinforcements.
Yes, amen, right on.
You know, we pray all over the city, and we're doing our acts of obedience and so forth. And last Saturday morning, I was driving into downtown Portland because we do a prayer walk, and I kind of, it was two Saturdays ago, and God said, you're like a sledgehammer that's hitting that foundation over and over again. Every week for the last year, you've been hitting that and hitting that. Now I'm bringing the weight of heaven into that with this prayer conference. And
wow.
So it's like, okay, that's cool.
That is very cool.
When that happens,
absolutely,
it breaks.
Yeah, right on. Cool. Oh, man, I just love how the Lord works. You know, that is so cool. And folks, just by way of reminder, you know, we had Aaron Winter on this show talking about this very prayer summit conference here. And folks, like I said, prayer changes things. So I really want to encourage you. It's not too late to get involved and get over there and participate. And we really encourage you to do that. Again, it is going on now, and it will go all the way to the 29th. And there is activities all during the day and in the evening. So go check that out. All right. It's going to be at Central Bible Church, which is 8815 Northeast Gleason Street in Portland. And you can go to Hearts of Fire, intl.com. I think I got that wrong the last time I was on the air. So let's say it again. Hearts of Fire, intl.com. All right. So let's also talk about this Emergency Preparedness Leadership Forum. Pretty big event happening, been promoted pretty heavily. I would imagine, I'd be very surprised, honestly, if there are people out there that haven't heard about it, because this is a big deal in an era of what is foremost on our mind, things like certain subduction zones out there that are about 300 years late of actually creating a very substantial earthquake in our region. And what I particularly like about this, everybody, is this faith leadership conference component that is a part of this overall event that is really taking a look at how the churches and the faith community of our area can get involved. So, Eric Cummings, welcome also to the program. I know you are heading up that part of this conference. Let's talk a little bit about that as well.
Well, Tim, if I have to, I will. You know, it's not my passion. No, I'm just kidding. I love
it. Yeah, see, that's what I love about you. We've talked before, man.
Yeah, a few times, yeah. This ain't my first rodeo.
But no, it's not.
Quite a good Texas phrase. But, you know, I want to go back to the seat this morning, first of all. But what was this morning was so, with the prayer summit, was local ministers and pastors and ministry leaders gathered together. That was unity right there.
Yes.
There
amen.
Must have been, I don't know, James, what do you think, 30?
Yep.
30 or 40 leaders called up to the altar up front and were prayed over and just prayed themselves. And as I was back in the back praying, that's the vision of what this is all about, this Faith Leaders Conference. And that's the initial vision that I was given to help bring this forward, is the unity in our city of faith, you know, faith ministers, of pastors, of different houses of worship, just to come together for a common purpose of opening the conversation up. What are we going to do? First of all, what is it going to look like? What's the disaster going to look like? And then what are we going to do? And how do we do that together? Because we're all out there doing our own thing day in, day out, which is good. But when it comes time for a community-wide event, like a disaster or a man-made emergency or something, it's going to take a community to come together to learn how the pieces of the body work together to support each other. And that's what it's going to take.
Absolutely. And as one who was in the San Francisco Bay Area in 1989 during that earthquake, I can tell you that if you've never experienced anything like this, the community coming together is so vital and so important. And we saw that in the Bay Area. But when we're talking about the faith community coming together, how does that add a whole new dimension to all of that?
What it does, because each church, each house of worship, and you know, the reason we coined it faith community, because we're believers in Jesus Christ, and that's not going to change. But there's others out there disaster's going to hit. And that's why we coined it faith leadership, because it's going to take all of us. And what that does, instead of as a church, as a minister, as a pastor, as a faith leader, you know, relying upon yourself and your little knowledge of what to do and how to do it to help your people, you can rely on the other community in your area, the other houses of worship, the other faith believers, and say, well, you know, we don't know how to do this, but the other church right down the road, they're great at that. So let's figure out how we can partner with them to help them do what they do, and they can help us do what we do better.
Yeah.
It's a response
absolutely.
Effort. Preparedness and response so anything.
Yeah, we've been very intentional to include the Jewish Federation, the LDS, because they're already prepared in a lot of ways.
Yes.
And we can learn from them. We just discovered that the Mormons, they have every person that attends a Mormon church should have a year's supply in their home of provisions.
Right.
They have ham radios at all their churches. They do exercises on a regular basis because in a major disaster, the only communication device that works is a ham radio.
Yes.
And so that's a critical component. And we want to learn from their experience and from their knowledge of how they do that to get everybody engaged because, again, the whole focus of this is to build those relationships now so that we know, like, and trust each other when something happens. That's
well,
critical.
That's very that's true. Exactly. And when you think of all of the communities of faith in our area, to be able to be connected one to another just on the level of communication, being able to mobilize resources, be able to just pray together or discuss the situation, and then also from even a medical standpoint, there's triage centers that churches can turn into and so on. I just love the fact that this is coming together. So specifically, let's talk about the conference as a whole and what people can be involved in there, but then also more specifically the November 2nd, sorry.
Yep.
Starting at the check-in at 7 a.m. and going pretty much all day.
Sure.
So the conference overall, there's going to be a lot of booths and displays and things that people can learn about. What's going on with that aspect?
Yep. Well, there's 2 days for the conference. It's the 1st and 2nd of November, next Tuesday and Wednesday. There's 4 or 5 different tracks that people can attend. If you just have a business and you want to know how you can survive after a major disaster, a fire, a flood, you know, even it doesn't have to be the whole city. It could be just your area. I mean, if you don't have everything backed up and contingency plans and people that, you know what to do in situations like that, you're out of business. That's what we've seen.
Yes.
And so there's a track for businesses. There's a track for cybersecurity, IT people. There's a track for first responders, people that are already in the areas of fire and police to hone up their skills, learn new technologies, really cool workshops that will be done for that. And there's a track for people that do community response, people that are already engaging, who are training with the CERT teams, the NET teams, and who already are at that place where they are. This is already a passion of their heart, and they can bring others to get trained even further.
Right.
And then we have the faith leadership track that we just talked about. So all of those are 2 days. Tuesday and Wednesday from, 8 o'clock in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. And then the faith leadership track is only on Wednesday. And
right.
So when you do register for that, you get to go to both Tuesday and Wednesday. Or if you just want to come to Wednesday, there's a place for that. And then the trade floor, it will be open all day from 10 to 4. And that's where all the 125 booths will be, and they'll have a ham radio mobile unit. They'll have a Sprint wireless truck. I mean,
very cool.
All kinds of cool stuff will be in there. And it's kind of hands-on. You get to touch it, feel it, talk to people who've been there, learn from them, buy stuff. All of that's going to be taking place. And that's pretty affordable as well because there's no charge if you use one of our discount codes.
Yeah, that's great. No, that's terrific. And we actually had the we had the Washington County shortwave guys came in the studio, and they were talking all about ham radio operators and emergency communication and all of that. That was fantastic. So, folks, once again, the conference is November 1st and 2nd, and essentially, I guess, check-in's about 7 a.m. It'll go all day, and you want to check out all the exhibitors. You may find that it's going to teach you something you didn't know before and stoke that fire in you to want to get involved. So that's terrific. And then more specifically of interest to me is the Faith Leadership Conference portion of it that will be on November 2nd. So, folks, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're just going to dig in and drill down a little bit more in all of this information. We got a lot to tell you about, including we're going to talk a little bit as well as what's going on with Christian Chamber, and we'll talk about serving our neighbors, and we'll also continue to talk about the Emergency Preparedness Leadership Forum here on the Rose City Forum.
Become a sponsor of the Rose City Forum. Call KKPZ right now at 503-242-1950. The Rose City Forum with Timothy Moore on KKPZ 1330, The Truth.
Welcome back to the Rose City Forum, everybody. We are talking with James Autry and Eric Cummings, and specifically right now, we're continuing our discussion on the Emergency Preparedness Leadership Forum. And you can get information on EPLF by going to EPLF.us. Let me repeat that, EPLF.us. And there you will be able to click on a number of links to get information. You can also register there. And if you are interested specifically in the Faith Leadership Conference, there is a link there for that as well.
And because this conference is taking place here and being launched in Portland and then going to other cities, that particular website address does give you a highlight of those other cities. But so you need to click on the Portland event. And when you do that, you can see the agenda, you can see the exhibit floor, you can see the faith track, the full schedule for that, their bios, all the breakout sessions. Everything is there at EPLF.us. And we also have it at our website at serveyourneighbors.org right on the front page.
Yes, and if you missed any of that, folks, just write me at rcfhost@gmail.com. I'll send you all the links. Now, Eric, there's going to be a number of speakers at this faith conference, Faith Leadership Conference, that is on Wednesday, November 2nd. Tell us a little bit about those speakers. What topics are they going to be discussing?
I'd love to, Tim. Thanks. Actually, in the faith leadership is actually... The faith leadership is actually, I'm going to have two main speakers, and those speakers are focusing around a couple of different, well, two main focuses on what happens in a disaster. One of them is Dr. Jody Kiracosta. She is with Somebody Cares America, Somebody Cares International. Mm-hmm. She has been in ministry and disaster. She used to be in ministry with Operation Blessing as well for about 20
terrific.
Years.
Oh, terrific. Wow.
And so she's been working in this realm for several years. She's got a lot of experience on working with churches, specifically churches, you know, Christ-based churches. Mm-hmm. But just what I was talking about a while ago, letting them know the importance of the unity, the relationships, the collaboration on the ground, and how that affects the response of the community. Because the networks on the ground that are built, as James referred to a while ago, those are what's going to take place. That's the net that works that's going to happen after the event happens.
Mm-hmm,
and by
sure.
that, excuse me, there are much larger networks outside of our little realm here that are we're able to tap into, like with Somebody Cares and stuff like that, in order to get the supplies and the needs that we're going to specifically need here on the ground. So
right.
by collaborating here, we collaborate on a larger scale. Jody's an expert in that, and she's going to speak on that and some of the specifics on how churches can get involved. Be it, like you said a while ago, maybe a distribution center, or be it a shelter, something like that. There's trainings that we can train houses of worship and pastors on how to actually do that and be effective for it. That's the first speaker in the morning after the pastor's breakfast. We're going to kick off with the pastor's breakfast because, you know, all of us faith leaders, we like our food. So, you know, that's going to get them in and then have a break after our expert panel. And then I put it as the closer. Dr. H. Norman Wright is he's pretty well known in the faith realm up here for his counseling. That's what he does. Marriage and family counseling he started off with years ago and has kind of honed in the last dozen to 15 years on grief and trauma care.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the major effects in any disaster is the sheer amount of grief and trauma left behind afterwards.
Yes.
I mean, people, even everyday emergencies, you know, your house, unfortunately, blows up from a gas explosion.
Mm-hmm.
That causes grief and trauma.
Yeah, that's
your
right.
whole entire life has been turned upside down. It'll never be the same.
In fact, we have to remember that as unlikely as something like that is to happen, it did happen in the San Francisco Bay Area. I think it was in San Ramon where there was a natural gas explosion that took out several houses in a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. That just happened here.
Right. Yes, that's right. That's correct.
A week ago.
Very recently.
Yeah, I mean, so
huge evacuation
just,
and.
And if you were to look, if you saw just that picture on the news, which I did, I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, that's a disaster. It's an emergency. It looks like a tornado. I've been in many tornadoes. It looks just like that. So,
well, speaking of which, we had all these storms blow through, and then sure enough,
that's right.
two tornadoes just a couple
coast.
Weeks ago. Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So, see, it's top of mind for everybody. So, I really, hopefully, that is, I don't want anything to ever happen, but, you know, hunkering down and realizing what's going to happen and what those emergencies events look like, we're going to be so much better, well, you know, equipped after the fact to take care of it.
I think it's important to state here that for far too long, the different communities of faith have been isolated. We're sort of communities unto ourselves. Mm-hmm. It could be denominations. It can be just individual churches or even those that are outside of our stream of faith, as it were.
Exactly right.
And we just don't work together, don't communicate. They're not one of us, whatever. But folks, when disaster comes, it doesn't say, oh, I'm going to blow down the, you know, the mosque, and I'm going to blow down the synagogue, but I'm just going to leave the churches alone or
whatever.
It's just going to blow them all down, right?
You know, it doesn't come up and go, excuse me, can I come in?
Yes, exactly. And when this subduction zone goes, it's going to be a big deal. Seattle, Portland, we're going to feel that. And it's going to be particularly bad for Seattle, as we know. At least that's the prediction. But it won't go well for us either, even though we're farther inland and all of that. And one of the questions that I did have was, as there is the macro side of coming together, how can an individual church even look to having supplies, being a safe house for people, and all of those kind of things in the event that their building or structure is one that hasn't been destroyed and so on? What is being recommended here for what churches can do individually to be prepared?
Great, great question, Tim. And that's something that James and I are working on. I'm a big proponent of, you know, these events are great. It gets attention drawn. But what's the leave behind after that?
Right.
Which is we're forming an advisory committee to leave behind afterwards, to keep this conversation going, to keep the local churches involved. This is a kickoff for what's to come, if you will, afterwards. And that's when we hunker down. That's when we dig down and start working with local churches, local denominations, and finding out, first of all, what their heart is, what they feel they can do, and then focusing on getting trainings for that. Does that make sense?
Coming from the advisory.
And another thing, you know, we also do, where there's, this is a citywide event, you know, and it's, we don't want it to go by the wayside after we come in and then wait for another year. There's different events and everything we can hold out throughout the year to still garner that relationship, that collaboration through the faith community, like you were talking about,
Keep
us, you know, cohesive, if you will.
And yep. James, you have something to add about that?
Well, there's all kinds of partnerships that are in development. We can't cover everything in 2 days or even 1 day for pastors and rabbis and faith leaders. So this is just the start of the conversation. This is bringing business and government and faith together. And people have said, wow, we need this. We're all working in all our own space and so forth. And, you know, we're getting organized here. But the general public has no clue as to what to do, whether they need 3 days of food, 3 months of food, or 3 years of food.
Right.
And it all depends upon what happens. And so that's the critical element, is to get that conversation started, form these advisory councils and teams and boards and stuff like that. Let's start intentionally meeting and engaging, and let's educate more people next year. Let's do trainings. We're being discussing with, you know, doing trainings at the YMCAs. And so that's our heart, is to really continue to stir this up and keep it moving forward.
Well, it seems to me as well that we have to change perceptions. I think people perceive the idea of disaster preparedness as a reality show they saw about Preppers something.
That's right.
And so they get into this extreme mindset, oh, I don't want to be one of those. You know, those are crazy rednecks or something, you know, and they're just waiting for the apocalypse.
Right.
But we're not talking about
that.
We're talking about having a central idea that we can all rally around together, which is, let's take care of each other in our community when this disaster comes. And it will be coming, folks.
That's exactly right.
Because all over the world, we read every day in the news of one earthquake or another, or a hurricane or tornadoes, or or even terrorism or other things.
Exactly.
And we just have to say, how are we going to respond?
We've got a gentleman doing a course on active shooters. You know, what happens in that situation? And that's been happening across our country. You know, churches have been under assault.
Right.
And so that could happen any Sunday. It could happen this weekend, right here. What are you going to do with it? We've had a shooter at the mall. You know, what happens in that situation? So those are the type of things where the faith community, what we've seen after disasters is the faith community does 90% of the work on the ground.
Right. Yes.
And they have to be organized and have relationships and know the government officials, know the people in business, and have those relationships in place now so that we're not left outside of the solution equation.
And it's important to remember the church is a part of the overall community. Even though we think of ourselves as the called out ones and we're separated in that way spiritually or whatever, but we're not separated. We are in the community. We're in a neighborhood. Yes. You know, there's churches in every neighborhood of the Portland metro area. There are also synagogues. There are also mosques. There are also Buddhist temples, whatever. Yep. And even though we may not all share the same understanding of our beliefs,
that's right,
we do share in common the fact that we all live together in this community and we've got to take care of it. So I really applaud you guys for what you're doing. That's terrific.
It's fun.
All right. So tell people again about the event.
Yes, certainly.
All of what's happening. Let's let them know.
Well, they can register at eplf.us or servingourneighbors.org. You want to go to the Portland event because this is a nationwide entity that's starting up. And then if you want to attend the Faith Leadership Conference, you just click on that track, put in the word Faith 2016 as a promo code, and you get a discount for $50 for hearing the broadcast.
Hey, that's a good deal.
It's $149 right now, but if you put in Faith 2016, then you get that discount. And again, that allows you to attend both Tuesday and Wednesday. Wednesday's just for faith leaders, and you can kind of hit the floor and all that. If you're a business person and you want to go to the business track or IT or first responder, just put in the code PDX 2016, and that'll also give you the discount. If you just want to come to the floor, it's $25 for two tickets. If you put in the code SON, S-O-N 2016, or EPLFGO, all this, again, is available on our website. Those codes will allow you to get on the floor at both days at no charge.
Right.
Now want people to be there.
They can get the codes at Serving Our Neighbors. Is
that
correct?
It's on the front page of our website.
Servingourneighbors.org. Is that correct?
That's correct. Or they can email you.
They can always email me. And I'll ping James and say, remind me. Okay.
We also have something coming out in the Oregonian this weekend, don't we?
Well, on the Oregon Live,
right,
it's not an actual paper, but on the Oregon Live platform, if you go there, there's all kinds of ads running.
Yeah, terrific.
And other radio stations, other partnerships, it's been a lot of fun. And it's going to be, even in the Christian News Northwest newspaper, on the inside cover there's a half-page ad that gives you that promo code.
Yeah, that's terrific. Yeah, and that's a good reminder. So, folks, you can pick that up, Christian News Northwest, and get all over in churches and other places around the metro area. So, hey, folks, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're just going to continue moving forward on our discussion. But I really want to encourage you, remember to involve yourself here in disaster preparedness. It is very, very important, whether a church, an individual, a business, or other organizations, nonprofits, really important. So it's the Emergency Preparedness Leadership Forum. You can go to eplf.us website, and also there will be the Faith Leadership Conference that's woven into that on November 2nd. So folks, to learn again more about it, you can go servingourneighbors.org, or you can go to eplfdirectly.us. All right, folks, we'll be back here in a minute on the Rose City Forum.
KKPZ is always at your fingertips. Listen on your smartphone or tablet through the TuneIn Radio app. On the go, on vacation, at the office, or at home, you never have to miss a KKPZ program when you get the free TuneIn Radio app for your smartphone or tablet. Download it from the App Store or Google Play and stay connected with KKPZ wherever you are.
911, what's your emergency? Okay, ma'am, remain calm. What's your address?
This is Sarah Burley, Independent Damsel Pro with Damsel in Defense. Did you know that 1 in 5 women will be assaulted in their lifetime, and that 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men will experience domestic violence from their partners? Every day, men and women experience sexual or physical abuse or threats from a boyfriend or girlfriend or someone else. That's approximately the population of New York City and Los Angeles combined. That's 24 people every minute. Break the silence. 12.7 million people are physically abused, raped, or stalked by their partners or others in 1 year. A restraining order is just a piece of paper. Don't become a statistic. Don't be a victim. You have power over your own life. Take control now. You can take charge and have peace of mind. Become a Damsel Pro. Join the movement and be empowered. You no longer need to be afraid. Take charge of your life and join the movement that is changing the world. All over the country, women are taking charge and becoming damsels not in distress, but in defense. You are powerful and empowered. To learn more, contact me at mydamselpro.net/Sarah Burley.
Well, the Rose City Forum wants to thank Sarah Burley and Damsel in Defense for their support and sponsorship of the Rose City Forum. And folks, I want to encourage you to go to mydamselpro.net/Sarah Burley. That's mydamselpro.net/Sarah Burley. And you know, guys, it's not without a certain irony here talking about the Damsel in Defense, because they have some interesting products. And one of them, when I interviewed her, was a flashlight that also had a punch out for your windshield or your side windows. It also had a seatbelt cutter on it and some different things. And there's a lot of things that we don't think about in disaster preparedness.
That's right.
And yet, you know, Portland's the city of bridges, right? So if you've suddenly found yourself in your car, you know, Lord forbid that you're going down and you're in the water and you need to cut yourself out. Just imagine having just a simple device like that. And folks, I just want to remind you that you can get that at My Damsel, or Damsel in Defense, rather, and it's only $30. So it's a fantastic deal. Mm-hmm. And I really want to encourage you folks that that's what you need to be thinking about: food, water, and various tools and items. And you just mentioned off the air, Eric, about things that we need to think about: strapping down our shelving and having, you know, large tanks of water available and this and that. So let's get to the practical. What can people do, and what are some of the just the simple things that they need to be thinking about, whether it's, you know, keeping seeds or what?
I'm not a strong proponent of keeping seeds. I don't garden, so I mean, you know, take that for what it's worth. But,
okay, well, I do, but that's okay. All right. We'll forgive you.
My father-in-law does too, and he does great at it. But you know, it's just the simple things. You know, really 3 days of food for you and your family.
Yes,
that's the minimum.
Three days
of, you know, I mean, that's, and you're not, we're not talking about three full meals. Because you're not going to have electricity, you're not going to have a way to cook your food. So high calorie, protein bars and stuff like that, and you know, just finger type food, just to, for 3 days. That's just across the board. You need to have, as you said, Tim, well said, something in your car. You need to have what we call a go bag or a bug out bag. Same
yes.
thing. You know, because when my wife is a school counselor, she's at school, and I'm running around maybe up here in Portland doing what I do, and my little girl is at another school somewhere else, we're not going to be together. We don't know when we're going to see each other again. So to have something available in our car, there again, for if you're by yourself, have it for, you know, a couple of days for one person. Water, essential.
Yes.
Essential. As I mentioned, you know, we don't, something as simple prepping as tying your hot water tank, your hot water heater,
mm-hmm.
your tank down to your walls. Strap
yes.
them down. Get somebody to do it professionally, or you can buy them at you know, one of the big box stores.
Yes, exactly. I did it with ours. Yeah,
that's water. Now you may need to purify it a little bit, and you know, a drop of bleach in 3 gallons of water, that makes it drinkable.
Yes, absolutely. Now, by the way, folks, this is what's going to make this conference so great and why you want to go and participate here. Because as you peruse the floor and look at the exhibitors, you're really going to start to get educated on things you may not have thought of. For example, gentlemen, whenever I travel, I always take purification pills for water.
Mm-hmm.
I have thus far never needed to use them, but I'm very glad that I have them, because in the event, and it has happened where we've run out of bottled water, if I had to take some gray water, I could purify it, and then I'm not going to get all those nasty bugs in my stomach, you know.
That's right.
But what will happen in the event of a disaster, of course, is that our infrastructure that we take for granted, our sewer systems, our water systems, all of these things in a major earthquake are going to just be broken open and spilling everywhere, and, you know, water's going to get contaminated, and it will take a while to clear all those things up. So it's important to think about just the simplest things, like you may not be able to have enough water for 3 or 4 weeks, but you have purification pills,
That's
you'll be
right.
able to find water in places and then still be okay. Because sickness, disease, these are all the things that usually follow a disaster, and we need to be very mindful of that.
And the other critical aspect of all of this that we're really focusing in on is what Serving Neighbors is all about, and that is have supplies for your family, for your business, but be in a position where you can share that with others.
Yes.
You can reach out, use this opportunity to share your faith. I mean, I've got a generator at my home. I've got gasoline. I've got some food supplies. I'm going to make soup, and it's going to feed 5,000 people.
Right.
Why not? God can multiply. He can keep the generator going supernaturally. He can multiply that soup. He did it two times in the Bible with Jesus.
That's right.
Why can't I do that and say, why is this happening? How come you still have food? Well, I can say, because Jesus is providing for it. We'll use these opportunities, but we can't do that unless you're prepared. You can't do that unless you already are in a place where you won't be a victim.
You know, that is such a great point, James, because there are those that might hear what you just said and think, that's nuts, that's crazy. But it's not crazy, because the Lord Jesus himself said, why do you worry about your provision? I feed the birds, I take care of the flowers, all these things. And I just told some friends yesterday, I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't go to the cross for the flowers or the birds. So the fact that his love for us is so great, and then the people around us can see that, yeah, you know what? Those people that love Jesus, they're seeing God come through for them. I want to know what that's about. And that was really foremost on my mind, because just in our circle, I've got four or five neighbors right around me that if I knew I could take food that I have help them, I don't even have to say one word about Jesus Christ to them, and they're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. And think about how many, literally thousands folks of us Christians that are out there that can make a difference in a time of need like that. I love that.
Yep, that's the opportunities that we have. And it's coming. I mean, whatever it is, terrorist attack, national crisis, the times that we're in are changing and are drastically, the kingdom is coming. There's going to be conflict and all kinds of things going crazy, and we can be a part of bringing life to that situation, speaking truth into that situation, praying for people to be healed in that situation. That's what we're in. That's the season we're in, and it's going to be. You can either ride the roller coaster, hanging on for dear life, scared spitless, or you can raise your hands up and just enjoy the ride and be a part, because you know what needs to happen in that situation.
Yes,
you've been trained. One of the other things that we're working with is Mission Connection to educate people that want to do foreign mission trips. Why not take a trip to a disaster and get trained now in a disaster situation, so that when something happens back home, you've already been there. You've already done that.
That's right.
And so that's what we'd love to see people. Yeah, let's take mission trips to other areas to build a church or, you know, do this project, stuff like that in, you know, third world countries or whatever God sends you. I've got a friend that goes to Italy and does a festival in that place. You know, there's all kinds of opportunities, but why don't we be intentional to go to places where there are disasters so that we get that education and that training.
Right. Yeah, and reacquainting ourselves with basic first aid, triage, things like CPR, all of these things that, you know, I've learned all that, but man, I need some refresher courses, you know, and I just love it. And the fact that the Emergency Preparedness Leadership Forum is also talking about collaboration here, businesses, church and faith communities, also, I'm assuming, local government, state government, federal government. Let's talk about some of that too, like, for example, the collaboration of local businesses with churches and so on.
Well, we do have the director of the emergency management for Multnomah County, who's going to be doing a workshop in the main sessions with the business track, and she'll be on our panel in the faith community. And so we're excited to have her participation. She's wanting to know how she can engage with people of faith to understand. They have lots of trainings that take place at the county level, in the city level. There's all kind of trainings that you can get plugged into, but that's the challenge. They don't have a mechanism for getting that information out to say, hey, this needs to happen, and here's how you can get trained. And so that's what we're building, those partnerships, so that we can use what we've done in the faith community for the last 20 years of driving traffic to those trainings and partnering with the YMCA and other community centers.
That. Yeah,
now, that's very, very critical. We want to continue to provide this and let people know. I mean, I see all this all the time because I'm in all these meetings with city and county. But the general public has no clue as to how. Oh, this stuff is always available, you know.
Yeah, like I said, you're everywhere, James. You're almost Jesus-like, actually. one important question I want to ask for each of you to answer.
Sure.
We'll start first with you, Eric. Why does this even matter to you? Explain that for our people. You obviously care about this. The question is why.
Why? Because I've been there. My life has not been turned upside down personally. But years ago, back when, if you remember, in 2004, when the Indonesian tsunami hit.
Right.
That's when I first started. I was drawn to do something. I didn't know what to do because, you know, I knew there was so much destruction and stuff. God got me involved in that back then, helping design mobile medical clinics out of shipping containers to ship over there.
Wow.
And that's where the disaster gene, if you will, came to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen it on the ground time and time and time again.
No, now it's very it's very compelling when you see images, and as graphic as this is, folks, when you see the bodies laying by the thousands, and that 2004 was very influential for me as well.
Right.
It was heartbreaking to see.
Well, and
that.
I've seen floods and hurricanes and tornadoes and on and on and on and on, to where the debris left behind, there's big machines that come in with big claws, and they're literally picking up people's lives that they've lived for 20 years in their houses and putting it in big trucks and hauling it away.
Yes, right.
How do you handle that? I've never done it personally, but I've been through it time and time again. I see the effect of what disasters and emergencies do to people.
Right.
I know what the effect is afterwards. I see the effect of what it is when somebody comes along beside them and says, you know what? We can't fix everything, but we want to love you and we want to help you as much as we can to get through this to the other side,
mm-hmm.
because there is hope on the other side of this.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
what keeps driving me. And the relationship and the unity that's built out of disasters when they happen are lifelong. Lifelong. I've got friends from back in the 2004 when I was doing ministry together that they are lifelong friends. And I've got people that I've helped over the years in houses and things that still call me because I was there to help them.
Yeah,
they may not believe in Christ yet, but they will because they see the passion and the love. There's a need deep inside each one of us to help.
That's fantastic. And how about you, James? This passion birthed in you. Why?
Well, back in 1999, during the Y2K stuff, I was part of a group of pastors and business leaders that said, we need to be praying and ready to serve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is something that could easily happen. Why don't we, you know, get engaged and do that? And so that I saw then, and with that name, Serving Our Neighbors, they said, that's exactly our heart. We want to serve our neighbors. We want to be there for our neighbors.
Mm.
And let's continue to mobilize prayer. And so when my friend Dan Terry, who's putting on the entire event, came to me and said, hey, we want to do emergency preparedness, I said, I'm in. Whatever I can do to make that happen. You know, we're closing the Christian Chamber for a season until next year. I've got 2 months. I can do everything I can to put all my weight behind this and let people know that this is a critical event that they need to be a part of.
And you have done that, my brother, both of you. It's really great. And folks, again, to learn more about Emergency Preparedness Leadership Forum, just go to eplf.us, or you can go to servingourneighbors.org. And this event will be on November the 1st and 2nd, so it's coming up. And I really want to encourage you folks that this is going to be at the Oregon Convention Center. It's not too late to get involved, so go to eplf.us and sign up today. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about the importance of all this, folks. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about the Emergency Preparedness Leadership Forum here on the Rose City Forum.
Become a sponsor of the Rose City Forum. Call KKPZ right now at 503-242-1950. The Rose City Forum with Timothy Moore on KKPZ 1330, The Truth.
Well, welcome back to the program, everybody. We've been talking about the Emergency Preparedness Leadership Forum, and more specifically, the collaboration of the faith community and how we can all work together to help our community here of the Portland metro region in a time of great crisis and disaster, which can come in many forms, right, gentlemen?
You can.
That's right. So we've been talking to our good friend Eric Cummings and also James Autry, and both of them are really active participants in this process, and this conference will be happening right here in the Portland metro area at the Oregon Convention Center, November 1st and 2nd. And then specifically, there'll be the Faith Leadership Conference on Wednesday, November 2nd, that'll go from roughly right around 8 o'clock until, I don't know,
4 o'clock.
Late. So
no, 4, 4, 4.
Right on. Just in time to get in the evening commute. All right, so folks, we've been talking about why all this matters, and it's high time that the church stop seeing itself as little isolated communities, but really as a larger community, mm-hmm. one to another. And part of that has been that in this community for a long time, and has been very influential here with the Christian Chamber of Commerce and bringing Christian businesses together with the same spirit and heart of all this. Yet you guys are now taking some time to reorganize and take a look at that in a larger context. So what's going on there as well, James?
Well, Survey and Neighbors has been around, like I said, since 1999, and our tagline is collaborating leaders to change their world. And the Lord really pressed upon us this idea of putting together a Christian Chamber of Commerce. I've worked with the International Christian Chamber of Commerce. It's in 60 nations around the world. Almost moved to Sweden before I got married.
Is that right? Wow.
To be at their international headquarters there back in 1990 before I moved here. But God has been pouring into us over the last 9 years of bringing Christian business people together, giving them a kingdom mindset to where they understand and see their business as a ministry platform, their mm-hmm. customers. Not right. to knock them over the head with the Bible, but to really just share God's love and to do things with integrity and professionalism and excellence. We always strive to do things in that way so that we can be a witness. We can earn the right to be heard. We can be able to speak into people's lives. And so as we've been in this process of saying, how do we connect with the International Christian Chamber? There's other chambers around the country. God's been saying, just stay focused on what I've got you doing. And then as we began the process of really seeking the Lord about that, he said, take a pause.
Okay, what does that mean, God? Thank
you. That's exactly what we said. What does that mean?
I've been there, James, so I understand.
There's times where God wants to do something totally new.
Yeah.
And I asked him one time, I said, Lord, why did you have a caterpillar go into a cocoon, completely liquefy, and then come out with wings and be able to fly?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because I just want to show you my glory.
Isn't that amazing?
And that's exactly what's happening with the Christian Chamber. All throughout August, as we were closing things down, shutting the meetings down and saying, hey, this is our last one, I kept seeing and kept hearing the Lord say to me, it's not a dead end. It's not a dead end. It's a runway.
Yes.
And that's exciting because it looks like a dead end right now, you know, not having anything going on. We closed all the membership and everything. God says, if you just totally trust me with this, totally liquefy everything, I'm going to create something new. I'm right. going to create a new model. And why is that? Well, we were not really reaching the young business people like we wanted to. We weren't reaching the different ethnic groups like we were wanting to. We weren't reaching high-end CEOs. Now, we've got friends in all those areas, and they love what we're doing. They just didn't need our membership model. They didn't need our meeting structure. They didn't need to come to a lunch and learn or a coffee chat. And so that's been the challenge, is that we've got great friends in all these relationships, but they didn't have a way to connect. And so God was saying to us, now's the time where I need to have you shift, have you go into a place of transition, and I'm going to birth something totally new. Now, what that looks like, we don't know.
Yes.
This Emergency Preparedness Leadership Forum could be like a beta test of what this thing could look like, where we could do quarterly events that would be regionally based, and we could have ministries featured and nonprofits and have businesses have booths, and then have a big keynote speaker, have 500 to a luncheon or something like that. You know, those are the type of things that we could work on. And so all of that's going to happen after the first of the year. I'm excited about it. Again, I believe that God's stirring in people's hearts. Every time I have conversations with different people, they say, yeah, that's exciting. I'm excited for you and what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we're headed. I know that God birthed a chamber. He's going to sustain it, and he's going to bring out the new.
Oh, absolutely. And gentlemen, in my life, I've seen that God works in the very unconventional, and that seems to be the normal way that he works. Things don't make sense to us, but they always make sense to him. And I agree with you, James. I do see it as a runway, not a dead end. There's been so many good things that have come out of the Christian Chamber. But sometimes God says, all right, I've got you in a new season, and that's a good place to be. You know, we got to be reminded, the Bible says that unless a seed fall to the ground and die, it cannot bear fruit.
That's
right. So that's very, very important. And we also have to remember that Jesus sojourned in the wilderness, and sometimes he says, I need to take you out to the wilderness and kind of get some things realigned and so on. And that's really cool that he does that with us. So as a result, however, you have pivoted a bit in your life and got really just involved in all of this with the Emergency Preparedness Leadership Forum. And I want to thank you for that and with serving your neighbors, or our neighbors, sorry. I keep doing that to you.
That's fine.
And
you
need
your
to
neighbors, I'll
you need
serve
to start the, right, there you go. And then we'll collaborate.
Exactly.
But at servingourneighbors.org, folks, you can find out more information about all of this collaboration and work that James Autry is involved in, as well as Eric Cummings. And specifically, if you'd like to learn more about how the faith community can be involved in Emergency emergency preparedness. You can go there, but you can also go directly to the eplf.us website, where you can go through all the links there and see all the exhibitors and all of the subjects and all of the speakers and what they're going to be talking about. And I encourage you to do it, folks, because it's going to be November 1st and 2nd, Oregon Convention Center. Get yourself out there and let it speak to your heart how you can get involved, not only to protect and help your own nuclear family, but also the community around you and then the larger community in the Portland metro region. So either one of you guys, what's your last word to our listeners?
Come check us out.
Hey,
bring your friends.
Simple. Bring your friends. Hey, I like that.
Yeah.
How about you, James?
Well, I'm excited about this, and there is another event that we'll talk about later. And we'll have Dr. Lori Sarnall here for our Clark County Prayer Breakfast. That'll be on Veterans Day. It's an annual event we do up there. And I'm excited because we'd like to see these prayer breakfasts in every county throughout the whole region. So that's something else that we're working on behind the scenes. So just pray with us that the EPLF will go excellent and go well. And the momentum, and we believe that God is going to show up and be there and touch people's hearts. And at the same time, we continue to mobilize more prayer and service throughout the region.
Yeah, amen. And my last word on this, folks, will be that we need to show the Portland metro community that the church is not a place to be feared, but a place to recognize and see that it is a place that loves our community and loves the people. And we're not about judging them. We're about helping them. And that's very important. So once again, the Emergency Preparedness Leadership Forum will be on November 1st and 2nd. And it is at the Oregon Convention Center. Also, there will be the Faith Leadership Conference, which is woven into the overall conference. And that will be on Wednesday, November 2nd. And it will essentially go from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you can check in at 7 a.m. To find out all of this information, go to servingourneighbors.org, or you can go to the eplf.us website. Now, as we are coming to the close of the program, I just want you to reiterate why the church's getting ready and being there to help our community is absolutely crucial in a pending disaster that we know is coming.
Well, in February 14th, year 2000, a tornado ripped through South Georgia. My sister calls me and says, "Hey, we're okay." And I said, "What?" And all of a sudden, my hometown is on the front page of the Oregonian, CNN News. And my church, First Baptist Church, had prepared all this food for emergency situations and to feed people. Mm-hmm. But when Georgia Emergency Management came in, FEMA came in, they didn't use one piece of the food because they didn't know who prepared it, they didn't know where it came from, and it all went to waste because there was not a relationship already established. It's absolutely critical that we know, like, and trust the people that we who are around us, even if it's just to your city or county level, because when the other guys come in to help, they'll say, "Hey, we can use this. It's been prepared the right way."
And let's underscore that. What you said was because they did not know where it had come from because the collaboration had not been established.
That's right.
Folks, that's why this matters, okay? Once again, it is the Emergency Preparedness Leadership Forum. It will be on November 1st and 2nd right here in Oregon at the Oregon Convention Center, Portland, rather, at the Oregon Convention Center. And then there is the Faith Leadership Conference. There's going to be some great speakers. What are some of the speakers, again, that will be on November 2nd?
Two main speakers, Dr. Jody Kirikasa and Dr. H. Norman Wright are the main speakers.
All right. And to get more information on all of this, you can go to servingourneighbors.org, or you can go to the eplf.us website. And folks, it's good as always to be with you. You guys, thank you for coming in. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, James.
Yes, indeed.
And look forward to also continuing to have you guys in from time to time to talk about all of this. And folks, as always, we love having you here on the radio with us every day, 12 noon, Monday through Friday. Remember, tomorrow is our Freaky Fridays. And we're going to bring in Roy Calkins, the master of repartee, to take us on an adventure in oddity right here on the Rose City Forum.
Thanks for listening to the Rose City Forum with Timothy Moore. Keep the conversation going on Facebook and Twitter at Rose City Forum, and join us each weekday from noon to one. The opinions and views heard today on the Rose City Forum were those of the hosts and guests and may not necessarily reflect the views of the Crawford Broadcasting Company, its ownership, management, or staff. become a sponsor of the Rose City Forum. Call KKPZ right now at 503-242-1950.